Masechet Baba Mesia Daf Chaf Aleph. We begin the second perek. Elu Mesiot Shelo ve'elu Hayavin Lahachriz. Elu Mesiot Shelo. Masa Perot Mefuzarin Ma'ot Mefuzarot Kirichot Breshut Harabim. Ve'igule Debela Kikarot Shel Nachtom Machzerot Shel Dagim. Ve'chatichot Shel Basa Ve'gizeh Semer Lekuchin Medinatan. Ve'anise Pishtan Ushonot Shel Argaman Hare Elu Shelo Dibre Rabbi Meir. Found items can you keep? And what found items do you have to proclaim in public? In this Mishnah, we're going to see a list of items that you can keep. And these were all contrasted with the next Mishnah, which will list similar items, but that have a fundamental difference where you have to proclaim it. The main difference is if you find something and the owner, we assume, has forgotten about it or despaired about it, then you can keep it. Since the owner despaired of finding it, so then he renounces ownership. If you find it, you can just keep it. And because there's no way to find the owner, or if it's because it's something that is insignificant, then the owner wouldn't care about it. On the other hand, if it's something that is significant and has a distinguishing marker, then the owner figures, I lost it, but I can identify it. And therefore, he has hope in finding it. As long as he has hope in finding it, then it still belongs to the original owner, and the person who finds it is not allowed to keep it. That would be stealing. Rather, he has to take it to a public space and announce, did anybody lose an item like this, so that the person can come and find it. So here's a list of items that, if you see them, you can assume that the owner forgot about it, despaired of finding it, and you can keep it. So number one, produce that is scattered. If the produce is all piled up in a nice pile, or it's laid out in a certain way that shows it was intentionally put there, well then the owner knows about it. He wants to come get it later. He just put it down for a while. But if it's all scattered, then it probably fell out of his basket, fell out of his wagon, and he didn't realize, or he realized but it's only a little bit. And so if you find it, you can keep it. Same thing with coins. Maybe they just fell out of his pocket and they're all spread out. So the owner probably didn't realize, or he didn't bother to pick them up. And so you can keep it. Or if you have a bundle of grain in a public area, not in a private area where he would put it for safekeeping, but in a public area, maybe it fell off the wagon, and so you can keep it. Or fig cakes, rounded fig cake. They would dry out figs and then press them into cakes like fruit roll-ups. Maybe it fell off his wagon, and now it's there in the middle of the street. You can keep it. And similarly, baker's loaves. Bakers, as you see in this picture here, this is a fresco, meaning a painting on a wall from the city of Pompeii that was covered by lava and preserved, this painting. And you see a baker with all these loaves, and they all look exactly the same because he uses a form. So since they all look the same, the person who lost it will not be able to identify it. So he despairs in ever finding it again. This will be contrasted in the next Mishnah with a homemade loaf, because homemade ones, everybody makes them in a different way, in a different shape, and they are identifiable. So if a person loses it, so he's going to go back and he's going to be able to identify it, and he's not going to despair of finding it. So that's why it says only those of a baker you can keep. If you have a string of fish that are strung together, that's the typical way that if you have a bunch of fish, that's how you'd carry them. If you find it, you can keep it. Or cuts of meat, they all look the same. There's no distinguishing mark. Or wool fleece that comes in from the province. In other words, unprocessed wool, just sheared off the sheep. And since they all look the same, so if you find it, you can keep it. You can assume the owner despaired. And flax stalks, and also strips of purple wool. Now, flax stalks, these would be very common and not expensive. Strips of purple wool, these would be very expensive. The purple dye, like techelet, comes from a snail. However, they all, when they would do the dyeing, they would dye these strips that all look the same. And so in all these cases, since the owner who lost them, we assume, would despair because there's no distinguishing mark by which he could reclaim them. So as soon as he realizes that it's lost, he will despair of finding it. And that's why you can keep it. All this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol sheyesh bo shinui chayav lachriz. Kesad masai go b'toch cheres, ki kav b'tocho ma'ot. It says any time that there is some difference in an item, then you cannot keep it. You have to proclaim it. What's an example? Let's say there's a piece of an earthenware shard in the fig cake. Or there's a loaf of bread with a coin in it. So he might have put it there to be a marker to say, oh, this is mine. Mine is the one with the coin in it. And therefore, if you find it and you see this looks a little bit different than others, then you have to assume that the owner also knows that there's that thing in it and will not despair. You can't take it if the owner didn't despair. That would simply be stealing. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kol Kele Anpuria en Hayav Lehachriz. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, if you find any Anpuria vessels, these are new vessels that are standard size, standard shape, and you don't have to announce them because since they all look the same, if someone who loses this standard kind of bowl, will say, oh well, you know, I'm never going to find it again, because even if someone finds it, I won't be able to tell that it's mine compared to anybody else's. That is the Mishnah. Okay, so that's the list of all kinds of items that you can keep if you find them. Let's analyze. Masa perot mefuzarim v'chama. Amar bi Yitzhak kab be'arba amot. It says scattered produce. How much is called scattered? If it's in a nice pile, then you cannot take it. If it's scattered a lot, but what's the definition of being scattered versus being in a purposeful pile? So Rabbi Yitzhak says the ratio is one kav per four amot. A kav is between one and two quarts. Let's just say about one quart in volume. That's spread out over four amot is about 6 by 6 feet. So if it's spread out that much or more, then that's considered spread out, and that means the owner just dropped and left it there. But if it's more concentrated than a quart over 6 by 6 feet, then that's considered a pile, and we assume it was purposeful, and the owner wants to go and take it back. Hechi dame, I derech nefila afilu tuba name, v'i derech hinuach afilu besir mehachi namela. What's the case? When you come and find it, and this produce is all scattered on the floor, if it looks like it got there in a manner of falling, in other words, it's all chaotic and messed up on the floor, then even if the ratio is more than that, you can assume it just fell, and the owner didn't realize, and has no distinguishing mark, and they went on. So that's it. They despaired. And so you can keep it, even if the ratio is more. And if it's placed there, in other words, it's not chaotic, but it's placed there in a pattern, in a nice form, well, then even if the ratio is less, there's relatively little produce, but maybe they put it there on purpose, maybe to dry out in the sun, and he spread it out nicely, but it looks like it's placed there purposefully, well, then that means the owner put it there, knows it's there, wants to come back for it, and did not despair of losing it, and therefore you cannot take it. So what good is this ratio? Amar Rav Ukva bar Hama b'mach nashta debe dare askinan ka bar ba'amot enafi שתרחיהו לתרח איניש ולהדר, עתה ושקיל להו, אף קורא מפקר להו. בסיר מהכי, תרח והדר, עתה ושקיל להו, ולה מפקר להו. So, Rav Ukva bar Hama says, we're talking about not that it's found in the street and it fell off someone's wagon. Rather, we're talking about that you see it on the threshing floor. So it's not that the owner forgot about it. The owner left it there on purpose. Did he leave it on purpose or not is the question, but he knows it's there. He brought all his grain to the threshing floor to thresh, and then winnow and so on. Now, if you find that there is a ratio of four amot for every 6 feet, where, I mean, or more, it's very spread out, then that takes a lot of work to go pick up little grains that spread over 6 feet. It's only a little bit. Most people don't want to bother for the exertion and to pick it up. And therefore, he makes it hefker. It's okay, he got most of it. There's a few grains left on the floor. They're all spread out. You're going to go pick up each one. What a pain. So he leaves it for someone else. Anyone can come and take it. However, if it's smaller, if the ratio is less, they're more compact. So then if they're in a small area, more or less arm's length, so you could bend down, pick them all up, and you'll want them. So if you come and you see that they're relatively concentrated, then you can assume that the owner, he left them there for a bit. He had to go do something, but he wants to come back. He didn't renounce ownership. He wants to come and get it. Well, then you cannot take it. That's the case that the ratio is helpful for. Now, we know that's the ratio, but is the ratio apply also for bigger and smaller numbers? Is it always the same ratio? Or maybe it makes a difference. So this is Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya is known for asking very technical, sharp, theoretical questions. He really wants to get at the heart of the matter. And so when he says, I know you told me one kav in six amot, but how about half a kav in half of four, which is two amot? Would you say the same thing? Perhaps the idea is one kav in four amot. What's the reason why you can keep it? Because that takes a lot of work, right? To go reach 6 feet is very hard, and you have to go and keep gathering it. So too much work. But if it's a half a kav and in only two amot, now even though it's the same ratio, but that's easy to pick up, right? You just bend down. It's easy to reach two amot away. And therefore, since that's easy to pick up, we can assume that the owner wants it and you cannot keep it. Or is the main idea that it's not significant if you have something that's one kav in four amot or less than that? Well, then it's not a significant amount. So all the more so, half a kav in two amot is really not significant amount. And so if you find that, the ratio applies and you can also keep it for yourself, right? What's the main idea? We're going to have similar iterations of this question. Kabayim bishmone amot mahu. Now, what if you double it and say two kav that's of produce that's spread out over eight amot? Is the reason for the ratio of one in four because it takes a lot of work? Well, in that case, all the more so, two kav in eight would be really a lot of work to have to go around all that area and pick up these grains. So then for sure you can keep it. Because we assume the owner would make it efker. He says, oh, all this work over eight amot, for sure he'd make it efker. Or maybe the main reason why a person would renounce one in four is because it's not so much and it's not significant, and that's why he leaves it. But if it's two kavs, that's more expensive. Even though it's spread out over eight amot, it's true, it's more work, but maybe the main thing is not about the work, but about the amount. And so two kav, and even though it's spread out more over eight, since it's expensive, he's not going to make it FK, he's going to come back for it. And therefore the ratio would be different for that higher amount. Kav shumshemin, barba amot mahu. We're talking about before grain, but what about if it's sesame seeds, which are really small? So, and let's say it's the same ratio, but not, instead of grain, it's sesame seeds. So one kav in four amot. What do you say about that? Kav barba amot amama mishum de la chashibe. Shumshemin kevan de chashibe lam apkalehu. Just grain, that one kav of grain is not so expensive. So the owner would make it efker. But sesame seeds are more expensive, and he would want them, so you cannot keep them. Or is it that it takes a lot of work? So if you think it takes a lot of work to pick up a kav of grain, all the more so to pick up little sesame seeds spread out over the same area. And so for sure, then we can assume that the owner will make it efked, and yes, you can keep it. Kav tamare be'arba amot, kav rimone be'arba amot mahu. Now, instead of grain, what if it's large items like dates and pomegranates, but the same ratio of one kav and four amot? Kav be'arba amot tamama mishum de la chashibe, kav tamare be'arba amot, kav rimone be'arba amot name, kevan de la chashibe mafka lehu. Is the reason why you can keep 1 and 4 regarding grain. Is that because it's not very expensive, not a significant value? And here regarding pomegranates and dates, also it's not, they're not very expensive, and therefore you can keep it because you can assume the owner would despair. Or do we say it's the reason when it's grain that a person, the owner, would leave it is because it's a lot of work to pick up all that grain. But if it's a kav of dates or of pomegranates, those are very big items. It's easy to pick them up. And so since it's not a lot of work, that the owner, then the owner would not make it hefked, and therefore you cannot keep it. All these questions we leave unresolved. But you see the kind of questions that would be presented in the Bet Midrash. And you have to, you know, the teacher would throw out one of these questions, and then you have to debate, you know, what the exact amount is and what the reasons for them are. Because for every item that you find, you have to go through this exercise to see, you know, it's a kind of a psychological game to see what would most people consider worth. The worth the trouble versus the gain to come back for, and what they would give up on and make hefked and despair of. So as long as you go through all that calculation, then you could decide whether if you find it, you can keep it, or you have to leave it there and announce it. Itmar yeush elo midat abaye amar lahave yeush v'rava amar have yeush. Now we're going to come to a major machloket, whether despair that without knowledge, meaning someone loses something, right? Some fruit falls off the back of the wagon, and the owner doesn't realize that it fell off yet. I mean, he will realize eventually when he gets there. But right now, let's say you're standing by, you see some fruit fall off, and that's it. He's long gone. You can't even catch him. But you know he doesn't, that the owner is not aware yet that it fell off, right? He'll be aware, let's say, in an hour when he gets to his destination and he sees some things fell off. So can you go and take it right now, right? Let's say it's only a few and they're scattered. So for sure, the owner will despair when he finds out, right? He'll open it up. He'll say, oh, I lost a few apples here. So he's going to despair. It's not a lot. There's no distinguishing marks. So he's not going to care. But right now, he doesn't even realize yet. So this is a major machloket. Abaye says, despair without knowledge is not called despair. And if you see it, you cannot take it until you verify that the owner knows that he had lost it, and then you can take it. Or you wait the amount of time that you can assume that he would be aware, and then you can take it. However, Rava says, we consider it already despair, since when he realizes, we assume he will despair. Therefore, we don't have to wait any time at all. We can keep the item from now, because it's already like it's despaired. Right? We make a presumption that he will despair. He doesn't actually have to despair. It kind of retroactively becomes hefker. All right, that's a really good question. Now, let's limit their machloket to what case it applies to. If it has a distinguishing marker, then everybody agrees that there's no despair, right? It has a distinguishing marker, and if he doesn't know that it got lost, so he certainly didn't despair, and when he finds out, he realizes it was lost, certainly he will not despair, because he'll say, I know what it looks like. I can identify it. And in that case, even if we end up finding out that he does despair, right? Maybe he lost something with the distinguishing mark, and after a month, he says, you know what? If it hasn't been found now, I despair. And even if we hear that, in fact, he despaired, still you cannot keep it, because when you picked it up off the ground, he didn't yet despair. And therefore, you cannot keep it. That would be, it came to one's hand, the finder's hand, in prohibition. So in that case, everybody would agree you cannot keep it, even if you know that in a month from now, he will despair. And even if he does despair in a month from now, you got it before he did that. And it has a siman. At the time that it falls, He does not despair. He says, I have a distinguishing mark, and so therefore I will give that distinguishing mark to whoever finds it, and I will be able to take it. Bezuto shel yamshush ubish lulito shel nahad, afagavdit besiman rachmana sharie, kedemain lememar lekaman. Now, if it's a case where the tide comes in and takes it away, or the river floods and takes this thing away, even if it has a distinguishing mark, then you're permitted to take it, because an owner will say, oh, it went into the river, it went into the ocean. Okay, there's no way I'm ever going to find it. If somehow down the river, right, someone finds it, even if with a distinguishing mark, everybody agrees that we can assume the owner despaired immediately, and therefore you can find it. All right, so those cases have no machloket. Ki peligi b'dabar she'en bo siman. Abaye amar lahavei ushtaha layadadin falmine. The question is, if there is no distinguishing mark, just some regular fruit, Abaye says that we do not assume, there is no despair before he realizes it was even lost, because he doesn't even know it was lost, so there's no despair. So Abaye is more machmir on the finder, and says the finder, no, you have to go and verify, or wait the amount of time, or do something. Rava says, Rava amar haveyush lechi adan famine miyashme. Mar amar siman nalet lebigave. Mashta hu demiyash. Rava says we consider it despair even from now. When he eventually realizes that it fell, that he lost it, then he will despair, because he'll say, oh, I don't even have a distinguishing mark, so I'm not going to be able to find it. Therefore, we consider it as if he despairs even from now, and you don't have to wait until that time. All right, now we're going to have a long series of proofs and disproofs that's going to go well into the next daf. On this daf, we're going to focus on 7 proofs. 6 of them are going to be challenges to Abaye, and the last one will be a challenge to Rava. So here we go. Tashema, perot mefuzarin, ha layada dinfal mine. The challenge is from the first thing on our list in our Mishnah. If someone finds scattered produce, you can keep it. Now, but in this case, the owner, the farmer, doesn't even know that he lost it yet. It just fell out of his basket, so he doesn't realize, and yet you can keep it. So this is in concordance with Rava, who says it is Yeush, a challenge to Abaye. And we answer, Ha, Amar Rav Ukba, Bar Hama, Hacha, Bemach, Nashta, Debizre, Askinan, Daveda, Midati. Oh, no, we can interpret this Mishnah as did Rav Ukba, Bar Hama, who said, we're talking about the threshing floor, where the owner was there. The owner brought his all his grain to the threshing floor to thresh, and then he took it. He took most of it away, and he left some leftovers behind that he knows about and that he doesn't care about because it's very little. And so that's what we're talking about. So therefore, since the owner knows about it and despairs, that's why you can keep it. And even Abaye would agree. So it's not a case where he didn't know about it. Good. Tashema ma'ot mefuzarot hare elu shelo amai halayadat infal mineh. What about the next case in the Mishnah of coins that are scattered? They're not in a nice pile where you can assume someone put it there on purpose for a while and was going to come back later for it, but they're all spread out. Spread out meaning they fell. So why are you allowed to keep it? He probably doesn't even know it. Maybe just fell out of his pocket or fell out of his purse. And he didn't realize yet, so there's no despair, challenged against Abaye. And we answer, Hatam Namek, Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar Adam Asui L'Mashmesh B'Chiso B'Chol Sha'a V'Sha'a, Hachaname Adam Asui L'Mashmesh B'Chiso B'Chol Sha'a V'Sha'a. We can answer, as does Rabbi Yitzchak, for a different case. We can apply that same principle here, that a person feels around in his money pouch or in his pocket constantly. When you have money in your pocket, you want to keep checking and making sure that nothing fell out, because it's a very significant thing. And therefore, if a person has some money in his pocket and then some fell out, so after a few steps or in a block, he's going to check his pocket again and feel around and make sure that his coins are there. And so in just a few minutes, we can assume that he will check and he'll see, oh, wait, I had 10 coins. Now I have only 9 coins. And he lost something or more since it's a few that are scattered, right? He had 20 coins and now he has 15 coins. And so he'll say, oh, I lost them. Oh, but there's no distinguishing mark. All right, I despair. Since we assume that he will despair within just a few minutes. So if you find them, you can keep them. Tashema, igule de bela, vikikarot shel nachtom, hare elu shelo. Amai veha layada din fal mineh. If you have these fig cakes or loaves of bread from the baker that all look the same, and you see something in the street, you can assume that the owner despaired and you can keep them. But why? The owner probably doesn't know that he even dropped them. He was in a, was in his bag and it fell out. And so this is a challenge against Abaye. And we answer Hatam Name, Agav di Yakire Meda Yada Behu. No, since these things are heavy, a person will realize, right? He'll go, after he'll keep walking, after half a block, he'll be, oh, my bag is a lot lighter than it was before. And he'll look inside and say, oh, look at that. My fig cakes fell out, right? He'll look back, he doesn't see it, has no distinguishing mark. So he'll despair within just a few moments. And therefore, if you find it, you can keep it. And Abaye even would agree. Tashema, ulshona shel argaman hare elu shelo. Now, strips of purple wool. If you find them, you can keep them. Amai ha layada din famineh. How would a person know that they fell? He wouldn't know. And yet, you're allowed to keep them. Challenge against Abaye. Hatavname agav dechashivi mashmushe memashmesh behu uchribi yishak. Now, those, although they're light, so he won't realize in terms of the weight, but they are expensive. And just like it'd be Yitzchak says that a person feels around to make sure his money is still with him, so too a person feels around to make sure that something expensive like strips of purple wool are still with him, right? I know when I'm walking in the street or in the subway, right? Every so often I check to make sure my wallet's still there. I want to make sure no one stole it. So too anything expensive when you're in the public place, you keep checking to make sure it's there. And so then within a few minutes he'll realize it wasn't there and he'll despair. Tashema, Hamose ma'ot bebate kenesiyot ubate midrashot. B'chol makom sharabim mesuyin sham, hare elu shelo, mipnei sha'ba'alim mitya'ashin mehen. And now this challenge, v'ha layadat in falmineh, this challenge is from a baraita. Someone finds coins in a bet kneset or bet midrash or any public place. You find them, you can keep them because we assume the owner will despair of them. Now, he doesn't even realize that they fell. The idea of if it's a private place, right, it's a little alleyway, then the owner says, oh, I lost them there. Oh, let me go back and get them. Probably there's nobody passed by. But in a public place with a lot of traffic, he'll assume, oh, someone passed by there and probably took them. So he despairs. But here, we don't know if he despaired yet. He just dropped them, maybe without realizing. And here, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Adam Asur LeMashmesh B'Chiso B'Chol Sha'a. This is the original case that Rabbi Yitzchak said his answer about, that a person checks his pocket constantly to make sure all of his coins are still there, so he will become aware of his loss within a short time. Rabbi Yitzchak said it about this, and we borrowed his answer for those other couple of cases. The next question, Tashema, Mematai kol adam mutarim beleket, mishelchu ba hanimushot, v'amrinan, mai nimushot, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, sabe da'azle atigra, resh lakish amar, lakote batar lakote. Mishnah Pe'ah says, when is anyone allowed to go and take from leket? Leket is forgotten gleanings that is meant for the poor. Right? The poor go and find them, they can keep them. But at some point, once the poor have all gone, and then and there's still something left, anyone can go and take them. So when do you say that that's true? When the nimushot come. Now, what are the nimushot? Two opinions. Rabbi Yochanan says, elderly people walk with a cane. So because they're elderly and walk with a cane, they walk slow. So they get there after the wave of poor people. Also, because they walk slow with a cane, they're looking down and looking carefully, and they see some grains here and there that other people who are walking fast and looking ahead are not going to find. So if already the old people with the canes passed through the field and took whatever they found, anything left That's it. It's hefker, and anybody can take them. And Resh Lakish says, gleaners after gleaners. First, you have the initial gleaners, poor people that come and take. And then there's a second wave of people that come and check. After two waves, then anything left, that's it. The poor people don't care about anymore, and it's considered hefker. So now even not poor people can go and take it. Not if they're not so poor, what are they doing there? Maybe they're just strolling around. And they happen to see something, they can take it. Now we ask, V'amai, nihid aniyim dahacha miyash, ika aniyim beduch tachri nidela miyashi. Why, even though the local poor people that are near this field, they have renounced ownership, right? Because that's it, they went through it, and yeah, we went through that field already. But there may be poor people in neighboring villages that have not yet renounced ownership, right? Maybe they'll want to come and pass through and see if there's anything left here. How can you just say it's hefker? So this is a case of Ye'ush Shelomidat, because those poor people haven't come. When they come, if they come, then they will see, oh, there's not much here, and they will then despair. But right now, they don't know if there's anything left in the field or not, then they haven't yet despaired. Yet, the Mishnah says that once the local poor people have come, then anyone can take them. And we can assume that the people far away have, or if they come, when they come, they will despair. So we consider it as if they already despaired. That's Rava's opinion, the challenge to Abaye. And the answer is Amre. The poor people in a neighboring village, since they know that there are local poor people, so they despair immediately because they say, oh, the local poor people are going to take the gleanings in that field and they're going to take everything that's there. And so the ones from a next door village are not even going to think about it. They despair immediately. Right? They may come by, whether they do or not, doesn't really matter. Their despair already happened, and that's why once the local poor people come, we assume everybody despaired, and that's why it becomes hefker. And last question for today, which is actually going to be against Rava, Tashema. This is Mishnah in Masechet Ma'asrot, Kisiot Baderech, Vafilu Besad Sedeh Kisiot, Vechen Te'na Notar Laderech, Umasa Te'enim Tachteha, Mutarot Mishum Gezel Ufturot Min HaMa'aser. If someone finds dried figs on the street, even if they're near a field where someone is drying figs, but they're in the street. And so therefore, one can assume that they dropped from the owner and one can keep them. And similarly, if someone has a fig tree that's on his land, but some of the branches are overhanging over the public domain, and you find some figs that fell off of it, one is allowed to keep it, and there's no problem of robbery. And also, you don't have to give ma'aser. In general, anything that's hefker, it's ownerless, you don't have to give ma'aser on it. And so here, either because the owner dropped them in the street, or because it fell off the tree, and normally he would want to go and harvest it from the tree, but once they fall down onto the floor, he doesn't want them anymore, and we can assume he makes them hefker, and therefore the person that finds them can keep them. However, bezetim v'charuvim asur, if it's the same situation with olives or caribs, then a person who finds them is not allowed to take them. We'll see why there's a difference between this. Now the resha that says you can keep them, that's not a problem for Abaye, because figs and the dried figs and the fresh figs that fell down are significant, they're valuable. And therefore the owner is going to be checking for them all the time. If he has a sack of figs and some drop, he's going to notice after a few minutes. Or the fresh figs, he knows that they tend to fall off the tree. And so he has in mind from before, listen, these figs, I'm going to come and get them on the tree, but I know that there's a bunch that are going to fall by themselves and they get ruined once they touch the floor. So he renounces them, he despairs of having them. And so there's no problem of Abaye, because in both of these cases, we consider this Ye'ush Midat. He's aware that they were lost, or he's aware that they're going to fall, and he despairs immediately, and therefore anyone who finds them can keep them. But the last part of this Mishnah is a challenge to Rava, because it says that if you find olives or caribs, then you're not allowed to take them. And even though These are items that, wouldn't we assume that the owner, they're not identifiable, wouldn't we assume that the owner, once he realizes that he has some olives or carobs in the street, that he would despair? He, right, wouldn't he? And yet, right now, we don't know if he despaired, and you're not allowed to take them. This is a proof for Abaye and against Rava. Answer, Amar Rabbi Abu Shane, Zay To'il v'chazuto mochiach alav, v'afagav de natrin zete meda yediya, tuchta de inish who olives are different, because their appearance proves their identity. The appearance of olives, you can see that it came from a certain olive tree that's nearby. And therefore, that's partly a sign, a distinguishing marker. And even though they tend to fall, and you know that they're going to fall, but the finder also knows that the place of a person is his. If olives fall in a certain place that's owned by, that's nearby a tree of a certain person, then that person, the olives belong to that person. So now, since you can see by the look of the olives that they belong to this tree and they're nearby, and so they belong to this person, so then the owner will not renounce ownership. Even when he knows they fell, he will not renounce ownership. And therefore, this is not a problem for Rava. Rava only said, if we know that he will renounce ownership, we can assume we retroactively that the ownership is renounced from now and take them. But here, the owner wants them, even though they fell on the floor in the street. Well, then, then according to Rava, even in the Resha regarding the figs, right? You could tell that these figs fell off this tree. Wouldn't the owner also want them, and therefore you wouldn't be able to take them? No, it's different, because figs, once they fall off the tree, they become disgusting, and the owner does not want them anymore, and that's why anyone who passes by can keep them. But olives are different. Even though they fall off the tree, they're still good, and you can tell they came from this tree, and therefore the owner does not renounce ownership, and that's why for olives you cannot keep them. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.